Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Schaeffler India Limited Q3 CY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Gauri. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Schaeffler India Limited's earnings conference call for the third quarter and nine months ended 30th September 2023. We have with us from the management, Mr. Harsha Kadam, our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Satish Patel, our Director of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Kadam will first take us through a short presentation on the results, after which we can open the floor for questions. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kadam.
Hello, good afternoon. A warm welcome to this earnings call of Q3 and nine-month 2023. Satish?
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, Satish Patel here. Welcome to this earnings call today. Thank you.
I would like to now take you through a brief presentation for the next few minutes, and then we can get into the usual questions and answers. Let me start with going on to slide number one. I would like to touch upon briefly on the economy and the industry. A little light I would like to throw upon the business highlights for the third quarter, as well as for the nine months ending 2023, and then I would like to move on to the last chapter, which is on financial highlights. So I move to slide number three on the economy and the indicators. And as you can see on the slide, India's performance in terms of GDP growth rate has been fairly robust. The provisional Q2 numbers that we have is around 7.8. Rightfully, all the segment growth are indicating for a strong growth in the country's GDP. Some of the pointers to that effect are sectors such as steel, cement, as well as mining and coal production are all in double-digit growth rates. Talk about the automotive production in the country, the commercial vehicles, as well as being on a strong growth trajectory with a double-digit growth rate. So we anticipate that the succeeding quarters as well, a strong growth rate in terms of GDP. The dampener, what we see is the increase in the inflation rates, that is cropping up. The Reserve Bank of India is doing its bit in containing the further, you know, inflationary trend growth. Talk about the industry production, and you will find that, that's been a consistently robust performance in terms of growth rates. Particularly, the August provisional results are indicating for an index of industrial production to be around in the range of 10%-10.3%. That said, I move on to the slide number four, which talks about some sectoral performances. Starting with the industrial sector, I would like to throw light upon the cement production in the country. As you can see, over last year, same period, year-to-date growth has been in the range of 9%. Talk about steel production has been in the range of around 14%. Coal has been again in the double-digit range at 11.5%, and electricity generation has been in the range of around 3%-4% growth rate. So the industrial sectors have seem to have done better. I will talk a little bit about the wind sector coming later, because we are seeing some recovery in the wind segment, particularly on the back of the improved export business for our wind customers that's coming back. I move to slide number five and would like to talk a little bit about the automotive sector performance. The two and three-wheelers have remained flat over a nine-month period, as you can see. This quarter was expected for the two-wheeler sector to bounce back in a much robust manner. Well, we will be able to comment on it once the numbers come in. But when you look at the other sector, the passenger vehicles obviously has posted a strong growth again over last year, with 8.6% growth. commercial vehicles too have posted a reasonable 5% growth. Tractors again has been languishing, and as you can see the numbers month on month, tractor production in the country has been at a lower level when compared to the same tenure last year as well. So that said, some sectors we have seen a mixed bag of improvements and upticks in the demand coming up. Wind for one, the infrastructure industry pushing up the raw material sectors, the steel, cement, they are pushing it up. Forward, we still have not seen so much traction on the tractor segment, and the two-wheeler still continues to remain flat. I would like to move now to the business highlights, and let me start with slide number 7. And for the third quarter, we have been able to show a sustained performance in terms of a top line as well as the bottom line. Fundamentally, on the back of the automotive technologies growth that we have been able to, continue to play the game there well, and recovery in some of the businesses which I already talked about in the industrial, for one being the wind as well as the railways, I mean for the raw material sectors, which have helped us to continue on the growth trajectory. We have been able to sustain our focus on the earnings quality, and we have been able to, in spite of some of the headwinds that we faced on some of the sector demands, we have been able to sustain our earnings performance, which I will talk in a while. Where we did see some flattening of demand is on our own export businesses, where the focus has been right now to see how do we mitigate, and we have some countermeasures in place to try and recover the lost opportunities in our export businesses, and this is obviously coming because of the slowing demand due to the economic as well as the geopolitical situation in Europe. That said, when you look at the third quarter performance in terms of our sales growth, we have been able to post a 5.2% better sales than the same period last year, and 1% or almost flat growth compared to the previous preceding quarter. And we have closed the quarter with 1,843 crores in terms of sales revenue. Look at the EBIT margin, and we have been able to sustain 16% EBIT margin, which is the same level as it was last year as well, bringing in 293 crores profits into the company. And that leads to a profit after tax of 235 crores, with the resulting profit after tax margin to 12.7, and we are at the same level as last year, which was 13%. One of the areas that we have been able to demonstrate a strong performance is in generating more cash and bringing cash into the company. So we have been able to bring in the third quarter 172 crores in terms of cash. When compared to the last year's same period, you would find that it has been one strong performance in terms of free cash flow, with a 57.6% better than the same period last year. I move to the next slide, and slide 8, talk a little bit about some of the new business wins in the quarter. When I look at the automotive technology space, we have been able to garner quite a lot of wins in the commercial vehicle space, some of it in the passenger vehicle space as well, and the product portfolio definitely attributing to some products which are into the next generation of technology, which is the hybrid technology. So we have the planetary shaft gears, we have the heavy duty clutches for commercial vehicles as well coming in. So our focus to continue to generate new businesses continues, and this quarter too we have been pretty successful in taking a lot of such new product lines, new wins to a closure. That said, even on the automotive aftermarket space, we have been expanding our market coverage for the traded products that we have launched, as well as some of the new products that we have added into the market in terms of the BS6 portfolio. It could be the FEAD, the front-end auxiliary drives or the timing kits, or for that matter, the tape roller bearings that go into the passenger vehicle segment as well. So we have consistently worked on expanding our reach in the marketplace, and that is yielding us the desired results. look at the industrial division performance, and there again, a number of new business wins in the industrial automation sector, in the railway sector, as well as some of it in the two-wheeler sector that we have been able to gain. New businesses bringing in a variety of portfolio, as you can see, in terms of the planetary gearboxes that we make, or the linear guides that we make, and the insulation-coated bearings that we manufacture in India for the railway sector. So our focus continues to remain on new business wins as we move forward. I now would like to take you to slide number 10, wherein I would going to talk about the revenue from operations and the business mix. So as you can see, quarter on quarter, we have been consistently growing. Q3 was one of the quarters where our revenue growth was kind of flat at the same level as the preceding quarter. However, when you compare the revenue growth over the same period last year, we have grown at about 5.2%. So where is this coming from? And as I said earlier, all the businesses have contributed to this growth story successfully. So we have 559 million rupees coming in from the automotive technology space, 172 million coming in from the automotive aftermarket space, and hoping 787 million coming in from the industrial space, all in all. And I did also mention the slackening of demand in our export business, and you see that reflected in the number. So while the rest of the three domestic segments were positive, we had a lower growth story to tell, and we were down almost 600 million in the export business. All in all, resulting to 1,848 crores, which is a 5.2% better than the same quarter period last. So with that, we have been able to sustain the growth momentum in the revenues, and our business mix too has shown a little shift as our export businesses have come down a bit in this quarter. You can see the contribution to the total revenue of export is down to 12%. We have the automotive technologies at 42% and automotive aftermarket, which has remained at 9%. Industrial getting in a little more share with the successful wins of new businesses, we have moved to 37% as such. I would like to now draw your attention one to the right hand side of the.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a line for the management reconnected, so please go ahead.
Hello, sorry for that glitch and inconvenience caused. So I was on slide number 10, and I thought I'll draw your attention to the nine-month performance. And as you can see, for the nine-month performance, except for the industrial segment, industrial business, and the exports, both the automotive technologies and the automotive aftermarket have posted pretty strong double-digit growth rates compared to the nine-month period last year. Industrial, as you all know, we had a very weak demand from the wind sector in the first half of the year, which we see is now coming back gradually. So we expect the industrial definitely to improve going forward. Exports at this point in time, we will have to wait and watch with the situations that is developing in the western part of the world. We'll have to see how the demand pans out. So very difficult to predict at this point in time the demand scenario going forward. That said, I move to slide number 11, and I would like to talk about the earnings quality. And as you can see, for the quarter three, we have been able to sustain a strong performance in spite of the lower revenue growth rates that came into the quarter. So we ended the quarter Q3 with 293 crores bringing into the EBIT, resulting in an EBIT margin of 15.9%. which is a clear 6.4% growth over the previous year, same period. Now, this has come obviously from a strong improvement in our gross margin, and that's something we continue to sustain. The volume drop impact has been kind of negated in terms of the profitability overall, though the export definitely could have brought in better margins. When you look at the profit after tax, again, we have been able to bring in 235 crores for the quarter, in the profit after tax, and that has resulted in a 9.1% better profit margins coming in compared to the same period last year. Now, that said, at the nine-month period also, if you see the profit after tax, we are in the range of 13%, which is the same that it was last year as well. I move to the next slide, slide number 12, wherein I would like to throw light on the working capital management. And what you see here for the nine-month period is working capital as a percentage to sales remain in the range of 18% to 19%, which is the optimum level of working capital that we want to keep it at to ensure better service ability to the customers as well. When we talk about the CapEx and the investments that we made, as you can see, in the third quarter, we have been able to continue to our investments. We have invested in the third quarter around 157 crores. That is taking the percentage contribution to sales from a level of 7.2% to 7.6% when compared to the preceding quarter. So that said, the free cash flow was one of the good performances in this quarter. As you can see, we have been able to keep the focus on our receivables as well as overdues, and we have been able to rake in 172 crores into the books for the quarter. And this has been a big change compared to the same period, 137% better than the last year same quarter period. So free cash flow generation would continue to remain a key focus area, and better working capital management is something that we will stay. Our CapEx remains in line with our strategic framework, and we will continue to keep doing that. I move to slide number 13, which throws a little more light on the key indicators in terms of the performance. As I already said, for the quarter, we closed the quarter with a revenue of 1,848 crores, with a revenue growth of 5.2% over the same period last year, and quarter-on-quarter, almost flat at 1%. The EBITDA margin too remains at 18.9%, compared to the same period last year, which was around 19%. And profit after tax margin, as you can see, at 12.7%, while it was 12.9%, 12.3% the same period last year. Now, that said, I already talked about the free cash flow. All in all, with the headwinds that we did face in terms of the export businesses and some sluggish demand in the tractor segment, we have continued to keep the focus on our countermeasures with our projects in Sustain 16, wherein a number of projects that we have been driving to grow the top line and also improve the bottom line. We continue to keep the focus on that, and we have been able to sustain these numbers. I move to slide number 14, and in summary, I would like to touch upon that the performance for the quarter was mainly supported by continued growth in the domestic business, what we do in India here, while on the export side, we did have challenges, but the domestic business, we have been able to do better. The quality of earnings, we continue to sustain again, as I already mentioned, with a clear focus and drive on a number of actions that we have put in place in terms of countermeasures, whether it is in cost management or playing with the mix in the domestic market. We continue to keep the focus, and we have sustained that. We will definitely continue to invest in capacity expansions, and as this is a long-term strategy for us, and the current situation on slowing export demands, what we see is only an interim situation, and we hope that the situation is quickly going to recover. And so we continue to invest as planned in our strategy. That said, the way forward for us being, we still believe that the optimistic growth story in India, strong demand situations, we see recoveries on many of these sectors, many sectors doing well on the government's initiative on infrastructure growth, and that's helping us as well. We do have some challenges on the exports as well as on some sluggish demands from some specific segments within the automotive industry. But I guess with the countermeasures that we are putting in place, we should be able to sustain the performances going forward as well. So with that, I come to the end of the presentations. Back to you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the export sales. We've seen exports decline 20-odd% this quarter. While you did kind of mention that there are certain global factors and the weakness that's impacting exports, in some of the previous calls, you had also mentioned that we have about a year of an order book, you know, in terms of visibility. And also that, you know, it is more like a substitution, substituting business that we are getting, you know, business that is basically moving out of getting manufactured in, say, Europe to getting manufactured in India. So, you know, with these aspects, could you kind of provide us some more visibility on exports? And is it just a temporary kind of a weakness until we have capacities coming in? Or is there something else happening here?
So thank you, Mukesh. So let me take your question this way. As far as exports performance for the quarter is concerned, yes, there is a decline. And when I compare this quarter versus the immediately preceding quarter, exports declined by about 14%, and versus the same quarter last year, decline is close to 20%. Even in the last quarter also, there was a decline in export by about 11%. Then we did mention that we have the conditions in Europe and China. The current economic conditions actually causing the downfall of the demand from this region. Sure. And that has continue even for quarter three. So if you see the order position from, and I am talking about the orders which we had to get from Europe and China for deliveries in quarter three, those have been impacted, and that is largely causing the the decline in the exports. However, as far as our long-term strategy and long-term focus with regard to exports, that remains unchanged. Yes, you rightly mentioned, and we did talk in the last call as well that whatever strategic actions we have taken in terms of focusing India for serving the world better in terms of our exports, that remains unchanged. In fact, some of those projects are helping mitigating some of the losses in exports, and therefore the decline in export is around 15% or 20% in that range. Had that not happened, this decline would have been even severe, and that would have caused a significant dent as well in terms of the overall performance for exports. Right. On the other side, we do expect that this situation may not last too long. Hopefully next year we should be back on track. I once again like to mention, and that's what I also mentioned in the last call, that we have to keep also one aspect in mind, that last 2 years we have grown in exports over 50%. Previous year we grew 66%, and prior to that 50%. So in a span of 2 years, the export has already doubled, and we have reached a level from around 10% of revenue to close to 16% already in the last year. So on that high base where we already realized the benefit of those projects, that continues. We have not lost so much of revenue like we have gained in the last 2 years. The loss is because of the global conditions, and yes, there is a little bit of contribution from the mix change, but that is not significant. Major reason is the global economic conditions.
and the conditions are not still on the, there are no signs of clear improvement in the short term. We hope situation would not remain like this at least 1 year or 1.5 years from now.
Got it. Thank you for that detailed response, sir. And just one follow-up on that, if you could give some sense on the geographic exports, how it moved. I think you had given some color last time about North America, Europe, Southeast Asia.
Exports about 45, close to 47% to Europe, close to 30% or around 30% to Asia Pacific, over around 10 to 15% China and about 10% USA. That's the geographical split.
Got it. Okay, great. And just the second question is on the mix itself. We've seen obviously the industrial business doing better this time. We have seen a significant improvement there. So would that have impacted our margins a bit? Maybe some higher traded components within the overall revenue? And if you could kind of comment on that.
Well, the current quarter margin level that we have been able to retain, which was also the level achieved in the preceding quarter, and then we mean margin, we are talking about EBIT. We earned EBIT of 16% in the quarter two, and this quarter also around 16%.
I'm not saying that the margins have declined, sir. I'm just wondering if there has been some impact of higher trade groups in this.
Yes.
So I'm coming to that only. What I want to first highlight is that we have been able to retain the margin despite conditions of the downfall in exports because of better mix in the domestic business. And mainly industrial business has grown in this quarter of around 9%. That is helping in terms of mix on the domestic side. However, there is no significant mix change between manufacturing and trading. Yeah, there is some sort of a shift towards trading, but not significant. That can cause a major impact on the profitability.
Got it. Great, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Vimal Goyal from Alchemy. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. So on exports only, actually I had two questions. The first one on exports being what, you know, a factor that you are watching at the lead indicator that you are watching at to sort of track the revival of this particular segment. That's question number one. And the second question is on the progress of our electric vehicle order that we had received, a large 2000 crore plus EV order that we had received. If you could just share the progress of the same. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Goyal, for the question. Let me take the first one. When you said what indicators do we look for the exports? Obviously, the first indicator is our own customers, and we are closely engaged with our customers to understand how are their markets, you know, and the demand proceeding there. So clearly, as you know, our own export business, we sell it to our own entities in Europe, and they in turn cater to the local markets. So we have regular calls and meetings with them to understand the situation. And so obviously that's the first indicator that we get. Apart from that, we look at some of the macroeconomic indicators, which definitely tell us the direction as to how things can evolve. And this happens on a regular frequency. Yeah. The third, I would say, is also obviously looking and keeping a track and monitoring the situation that develops. The situation in the Middle East, which has started off, is another impediment that has come in recently. The implications of that are still not visible, but what's more concerning is the news about Germany getting into a slow recovery in terms of the economic growth. Now, that we are unable to tell. It's all the economic indicators that we have to watch. So that's on the export business. And meanwhile, what we can do and what's in our control is to see can we leverage the capacity that we have to feed other markets and other segments with customers here in India, which we are trying to do now. Coming to the second question on your electric motors or the e-axle new business opportunity that we have won, I would like to state that we are working on a localization plan. It is going to take some time. However, the customer is evaluating our product, and we have already submitted the samples. Now it's under evaluation. And that's by far what I can express at this point in time.
Right, sir. And, sir, I try my luck on asking further on the outlook for export. What gives us the confidence? Because you clearly mentioned that we're not going to sort of reduce our capex intensity for localization plans for export. But what gives us the confidence that next year should be better? And if at all it turns to the worst, let's say a scenario analysis, if the export turns out to be worse, will we still look to sort of stay the course in terms of our capex plan? Thanks.
Two ways. One, Mr. Goyal, what I would like to say is in terms of whether the export is going to change quickly, well, your guess is as good as mine or vice versa. So I guess we are all in the same boat. But what I would like to say is on our strategy to invest in our capacity expansion continues because we as Schaeffler India believe we are here for the long run. So we will continue to invest, and clearly our strategy is to stay in the range of 15-20% of our business to be the export part of the business, which we will continue to sustain. There are many more product lines that we have to localize to feed even the Indian market, and we would like to leverage the cost competitiveness of the Indian market here to also look at opportunities to export. So our strategy remains firm.
All the best, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on the bearings business. Have we taken any pricing actions so far in 2023 on both sides, either increments or the downward revisions for both the distribution business as well as the OEM business? So if you can give some flavor on the pricing, which is prevalent in the market in the light of the declining commodity prices, then that will be very helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Patel, for the question. Let me take first with the OEM side of the business. As you know, the OEM side of the business is always indexed to the CM steel prices, and steel being the biggest commodity in bearing, obviously, that is set as the index against which all of us operate in. So as you are also aware that there has been no increases in the commodity prices in the last quarters, so rightfully we have not raised prices in steel or in our bearings product going to the OEM. Talking about the distribution, in this quarter we have not done any price increases because normally we do that once a year, right at the beginning of the year, and we will have to wait for the next cycle of the price increase.
Understood. So my second question is on our industrial business. I think since past few quarters, you have been very consistently highlighting the order wins in the areas of linear motion guides, ultra precision drives, gearboxes, condition monitoring products. So the non-bearing portfolio within the industrial segment. So could you give some flavor on what is the scale of this particular business within our overall industrial segment? Also, a follow-up to that would be which of these products that we have started making locally in India. So are there any localization plans as well on this front?
So let me approach your question with an answer wherein I would have to go back a little. As you know, Schaeffler globally has been making some strategic acquisitions, as a result of which these businesses have flowed into India because the business already existed, and once Schaeffler made the global acquisitions, bake in within our portfolio. That said, we have increased our focus in growing these businesses as well. One such would be the Media Motion acquisition we did 3 years back, and more recently the Evelix acquisition for linear guides. I can say that post-acquisition and are increasing the focus in India as well. We have started to grow the businesses here as well. We have started to increase our engagement and reach with many of our customers when it comes to these kind of products, whether it is the linear motion guides or the high precision ultra drive gearboxes that we make through Melia. For that matter, some of the other acquisitions that we have made and the launch of new products like the lifetime solutions as well. Obviously, today, without a digitalization coming into your business, selling the pure mechanical products is no more. The customer wants more value coming out of a supply partner, and this is why we are in the digital space as well. And with the number of digital solutions that we have brought in, we have continued and we are continuing to add more to the portfolio. We are clearly focused on growing this business, and this is categorized as, we call it, the lifetime solutions, which we continue to grow, focusing primarily today on the raw material sectors, but we obviously are expanding into the other application segments like food and beverages, and we have started to do that. So we will continue to do that, but I want to highlight also here that as of now, we do not manufacture any of these products in India. What we have done is for some of the products, we do bring them from Europe and try and customize the sizes here in India for the customers so that we are able to deliver with very short lead times. That's what we are doing today.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much for answering my questions. All the best.
Thank you, sir. We move on to the next question from the line is Mr. Nikhil Kale from Invesco. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Good afternoon. So my question was, sir, I think you mentioned about the strategic acquisitions that Schaeffler has been doing. So just continuing on that path. So Schaeffler has recently announced the bid to kind of merge with Vitesco Technologies. So over the next few years, do you also see the possibility of the electric mobility side of things getting bolstered because of the capabilities of, say, Vitesco Technologies? So what could be the implications for us because of this merger?
Well, at this point in time, Mr. Kale, all I can say is that we have made an offering to Vitesco. So it is too premature to comment on this at this point in time. So at the appropriate time, certainly we will give you an answer on that. Obviously, if we are taking this step in this direction, it is with a strategic intent, it goes without saying. So clearly, rest assured, soon you will get to hear whatever is the outcome of this.
Thank you. That was next.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, to begin with, I just wanted to clarify the CAPEX number that we have announced. So we plan to do a CAPEX of 500 crores each for calendar year 23, 24 and 25. Is that right, sir?
Yeah, we did mention or we did announce that we would spend about 1500 crores in 3 years. So it need not be exactly 500 crores each year, but it would be around that. So depending upon the, projects sort of planning and also depending upon certain conditions in the domestic export market, some adjustment would be done in this. But yearly capex would not be exactly 500 crores, but overall capex would still be about 1500 crores in 3 years.
Oh, perfect. So, sir, if I include calendar year 22, we are roughly doing a capex of about 2,000 crores on an existing gross block of 2,000 crores.
Right.
So, if you can highlight, what kind of growth do we envisage over next 3 to 5 years? If you can qualitatively, I don't want an exact number, but with the export opportunity, EV, aftermarket, if you can qualitatively talk about growth that you see over the next few years.
Very difficult to put a number to that. But we are targeting minimum double-digit growth. And CapEx would certainly enable this level of growth realization. Also, we have a good sort of a ratio of CapEx to revenue, and that has been proved whatever projects we have undertaken in the past. The past CapEx did deliver a better ratio of revenue, and we are expecting similar also in the future. But it would be difficult for us to tell you a particular number of growth because of the CapEx.
I think it's important also to understand why are we doing this. Let me explain this a little bit. So we are investing because of primarily two reasons. One, there is an organic growth in the Indian economy because there is a growth in demand. Obviously, we need to expand and we keep adding our capacities. So that's one. Second, we have been doing a lot of trading business, bringing products from Europe and selling it here, which we believe to remain more competitive, it's good to make the product in India. So that's what we call as localization. Now, these two obviously would require new capacity investments to be made here. So when you look at it, the capacity investment does not necessarily mean that you're going to have an exponential growth in business. It is to make us more competitive, remain competitive, or if not, take advantage of the competitiveness to grow the market share. And you know how difficult it is to put a number to it at this point in time. But the effort continues to remain that our strategy is very clear. The organic growth is something we have to address. The strategy growth is something we have to address. The localization need, our customer wants us to produce the products and manufacture the products here, and so we have to invest. We remain committed to our customers' strategy.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to join the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Dipesh Agarwal from UTI AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Sir, my first question is, in the opening remarks, you mentioned exports are weak due to weakness in the demand in Europe. However, if I see Schaeffler AG results, they have reported a constant currency growth of almost 9.8% on the second quarter in September, and even the exports and growth in the Europe has been quite strong in their second quarter. So, sir, unable to reconcile if the growth in Schaeffler AG is decent in Europe, why we are facing this struggle?
So let me answer very straight to your question. The growth that Schaeffler AG is showing is the total Schaeffler Group revenue growth.
Schaeffler
consists of all the countries of the world. That growth includes what we grow in India also, for example. Our own growth has also been over 10% in India. Similarly, there is a growth in the domestic business in China as well, domestic business in quite many other Asia-Pacific countries, and likewise. So it is not only the growth of Europe, it is the growth of the world. Mm. And that includes also the domestic growth of respective countries. And that is what is reflected.
I was referring to the Europe growth, which they report separately, which was 10.8% in their second quarter.
I don't have the number in front of us, but I doubt if that is so for Europe.
Okay.
We can look into and we'll come back to you. Gauri would come back to you. But I really doubt if that's the growth.
Okay. Okay. You are still saying that it is because of weakness in demand, not because of the inventory-related problem which you were highlighting earlier?
No, inventory-related problem is no more there. That problem was certainly there in quarter one. So quarter one impact was not because of the demand conditions. It was more of an inventory correction that lasted only for a quarter. But the subsequent quarter, particularly this quarter, is because of the demand conditions, and that is caused because of the downfall in the market in other regions, particularly in Europe and China.
Okay, sure. Also, sir, if you can share the growth rate numbers for railway, wind, PVs, two-wheelers, MHCVs, that would be helpful.
You mean the revenue growth in these sectors, right?
Yes, yes, revenue growth in this quarter.
Well, we have grown by about 12% in railways, 12 to 13% this quarter, vis-a-vis the same quarter last year.
Wind and passenger vehicles?
We do not have a breakup into vehicle category. We have breakup into our segments, which are more like two-wheelers, then we have off-road, industrial, wind, distribution, likewise.
If you can share in that fashion, that would also be helpful.
Yeah, we have a strong growth in distribution. Distribution grew around 15%. Power transmission, very strong growth. Wind, reasonable growth also in wind now. In this quarter, wind growth is around 7% versus the same quarter last year. I would say except two-wheelers, all other segments have grown quite well in this quarter.
Okay, sure. And the last bookkeeping question, what would be our current utilization level given we are doing CapEx and the demand has been little weak since last 2-3 quarters? What would be utilization level?
So our different plants have different structures of the product and different product profile. Therefore, one plant is not comparable in terms of utilization percent to the other plant. But if I take the standard products and the volume products which are in our, let's say, industrial plants, particularly the Maneja plant, that plant is utilized over 85%. The other two automotive plants, Pune and Hosur, are close to 80% utilization.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you did give the breakup region-wise of the exports. Any indication of the growth or degrowth in each of these geographies, let's say Europe, Asia-Pacific, China, what would have been the growth or the degrowth in these countries?
Yeah, I repeat the same answer that I already gave. The four regions, amongst those four regions, the degrowth is basically coming from Europe and China. Individual, I don't have the ready figures, but these two, because other regions, we have not actually encountered the degrowth. These are the two regions contributing largely the decline in exports.
Sure, sir. So secondly, we did talk about wind segment probably looking better in the second half of the fiscal year. I mean, for us, it's a different way. But how do you see that coming up? You said for the last quarter, the wind grew by 7%. Would you expect like a good double-digit growth in the quarters to come? Do you see a sizable pickup or do you think it is still somewhere, you know, in the gray zone?
Well, as you know, the wind was a sector which went down very badly in the second half of last year and the first half of this year. It got worse. But from the last quarter, Q3 onwards, we are seeing an upturn in the demand. Fundamentally, I guess this is coming on the back of all the inventories that were lying, have been now cleared out with all the projects getting reactivated. So that's the main reason. And what we see is in the third quarter, when compared to Q3 22, while it is a 6 7% improvement. If one were to look at our own business in the third quarter compared to the preceding quarter, which is Q2, we have seen good demand, and we have been able to leverage a growth of 18%. So that itself is telling us that the demand has come back a little bit. But again, as I say, we need to continue to watch this needs to sustain. So while overall, at an annualized level, it is still a nine-month period when you look at it, the wind is still in the negative zone compared to last year. However, the last two quarters have shown definitely some positivity there.
Sure. And so one small thing, if I may squeeze in, what's the broad contribution of wind as a business to the industrial? I mean, any ballpark number, sir?
Wind contribution in the industrial business is about.
Now, because it was down, it was down to about.
For 9 months, I would say it is about 7%.
No, that is at an overall level you are seeing, I think.
Sorry, double up. That's 15%. 15% in industrial business.
Got it. That helps. Thank you very much.
It's coming to 15%.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rishi Vora from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Just on the auto replacement side, I wanted to understand that on a QOQ basis, we have seen a decline in revenues despite the acquisition of Koovers. So is this a seasonal thing where we see a dip in 3Q over 2Q, or are there any challenges in the automotive replacement market which we are facing recently?
Well, Rishi, thanks for the question. And my answer to that would be, when you study the business cycle for us in the automotive aftermarket space, we always see the third quarter, the demand is a little low in the automotive aftermarket. In spite of the fact it being a festival season, we always see either it is flat or it slackens a bit. We have seen the slackening this year as well. But the next quarter, it bounces back very strongly. And what we have also seen is the OES part of the business does well. It also grows well because I guess this is due with the market situation that customers prefer to take their cars and vehicles for servicing to the OEMs. But we have seen this pattern come out very clearly. And so it's nothing to do with the acquisition of Koovers. Koovers is still running the same way, and we have been keeping our strategy. Right now, Koovers is going through an integration into the company. So they are totally two different things. We have not seen any impact of Koovers acquisition on the demand as such.
Yeah. No, I meant that despite merger of Koovers, the revenues were down. There should have been a positive impact because of Koovers financials as well. But yeah, I understood that it's a seasonal phenomenon.
Let me also answer that Koovers revenue has not declined. So rather, revenue on the revenue front, consolidated results are not negative or not lower than the standalone.
Yeah, understood. And secondly, on the automotive aftermarket, where will be in terms of localization? It would be like 80%, 90% given that recently, over the past 2 years, we have added a lot of new products. So just wanted to understand where we are in terms of localization in the automotive aftermarket segment.
Almost 100%, right, sir, because the products that we have brought in are not contributing in terms of volume so much that distorts the localization of aftermarket as a whole.
Okay. So it's a very small portion right now, the new products. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Sameer Panke from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Sir, I have a question on other income. We have seen in last three quarters, the run rate for other income has increased. For 9 months, in fact, it has jumped by more than 59%. On a nine-month basis, we have a revenue growth of around 6% and bottom line growth also in the single digit. And other income has grown, at very high rate. So I'm just wondering, what it attributes to.
Well, other income has grown. You are right. If above by 70 million as against 141 to 213 million. I don't have the ready split of that, but I can confirm that there has not been any significant change in the structure of other income or a new income which was not there at entirely last year. Sorry, which is realized this year.
Okay, because your annual report, if I open and look at other income breakup, it is mainly interest income that you generate out of. 80 to 90% of the other income is comprises of interest income. So,
sorry, so I stand corrected because you are reading the published results probably and not the presentation that Harsha just now made. So in the published results, yes, you are right. The other income includes interest income. Interest income has gone up this year. Two reasons. One is that we had certain old refunds and that refunds come with also the overdue interest. So we have collected interest on those refunds. And second is the yield improvement on our cash position. So those are the reasons for interest income increase, which is also part of other income. But if you look at the presentation that we have shown today, we do show interest as a separate figure, and you can then clearly see the rest of the other income as a separate line item.
Okay. Another question is on the plant relocation that we had talked about, and we were supposed to spend around 300 crore on that. So I just wanted to understand what's the status of the same at the moment.
I think, Samir, we would like to clarify that there's no such thing as a plant relocation. We're not talking about plant relocation. What we talk about is investing in capacities for localization.
And plant construction.
And plant construction locally in India here. It's not like we are transferring a plant out of Europe here. That's not, I think that needs to be corrected.
Okay.
What we are currently doing is we are constructing a new plant near Hosur.
Yeah.
And we are also constructing a new hall at our Savli location.
So the CapEx that we have announced, 1500 crore over a period of 3 years, including this year. So broadly, this CapEx, will you, bifurcate for which products or for the which category that we are incurring or we are going to incur?
No, we do not have such breakup to provide you readily. The CapEx consists of CapEx for infrastructure, CapEx for building
plant and machineries.
CapEx for localization, CapEx for capacity, CapEx for certain type of new products and also the process improvements and related CapEx. So it consists of all.
Okay. So existing capacity, what we have at the moment, will get enhanced in the current products that we are manufacturing?
Okay. So, of course, the capacity would get enhanced quite significantly, and large amount of capex is for capacity. That much also we like to clarify.
It's not only for existing products.
It's also for the new products. But that's what I mentioned, that capex also for the new products, also for the existing products, additional capacities because of the continued demand, and also for the localization, as well as for quality, process, and the infrastructure.
Hmm.
Okay. Last question is on Koovers. When we acquired Koovers and we had a call in which you have alluded that, further investments might be required for Koovers to take Pan India, both in terms of technology platform upgradation and logistic backbone that we have to set up as we are planning to take it Pan India. So any plans have been finalized? Existing capex of around 1500 crore, including the investments that we are planning for Koovers?
No, the 1,500 crore CapEx that we have been talking about, that does not include Koovers, because this investment we have been talking about now almost six, 7 months. And the Koovers acquisition happened just couple of months before. But the CapEx or the, let's say, whatever investment that we have to do for Koovers, for the technological, particularly IT-related development, and also for the warehousing, that investment will happen. But it's too early to already say when and how much, because we have just completed the acquisition and in the integration phase currently.
Also, I think there are a lot many softer things to be addressed, and with that itself, we can try and continue to sustain the growth. Investments would come in at the appropriate time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Gauri for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any further questions, please do reach out to me at gauri.kanikar@schaeffler.com. We now conclude this call. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Schaeffler India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.